Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, we're going to begin with verse 20. Let me get right into this message or you won't be able to see a miracle happen. And looking good here in this gym. The church on the move. We're going to be doing this for a couple weeks in the gym, and then we'll be transitioning back into Royce Theater, but we will be here on this facility. I believe some of you had to figure out where to put children and all that. But next week, I think we'll be back into the normal space. So invite somebody to church with you. Amen. So he said, well, it was so difficult. It's so hard. It's so cold. You whiner. You're just a whiny baby. Whiny baby. There's people that walk 3 hours to get to church. And it goes 6 hours. And I was a part of the service that lasted 6 hours the other day. We go to the, see, so, oh, dear God, I couldn't handle that. Well, you need to get saved. You need to just get in love with Jesus. I'm always shocked at what we see when we go over to the Philippines, how people will, you know, walk all day just to get to church, you know. And if it's not convenient, I'm out of there. Celebration, we're tough around here. Come on, we can put up with a little bit, amen. We're going to still come together and worship and serve our God. And what a great looking crowd today and those online. And so invite somebody. Listen, I believe that God has a purpose for us to be here for a season. And one of the purposes is that we go fishing while we're here. Jesus said he's going to make you fishers of men. There's a reason why we're here. And so we're going to let our light shine to all those around in this area. And so invite somebody to church with you to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm excited about what I'm going to get into, I believe, over the next couple weeks. Last week, I thought we were going to be diving into a series on Thanksgiving, and the Lord paused that. I believe we'll get to that just before Thanksgiving, but because there's some things stirring in me, but I found out that was for me. And there had been another message that I had been working on, or a devotion or a study that I'd been doing, that I personally just thought it was for me. It was helping me. It was changing me. And I thought I was going to share it last week just so that some of you could have some sanity before the election. But the Lord said, it's not time. And then to my shock this week, he said, now it's time. And so I'm going to dive into it. And today I'm going to give a foundation. It's going to be teaching, but it's teaching that's going to change your life. Laying some foundation for some exciting things that I believe I'll be able to get into next week that I believe could be the answer to some things that you're looking for. So let me go ahead and dive into this, and we'll begin by using our text here, Mark chapter 11, verses 20 through 22. It says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you curse has withered away. Let me give you a little bit of the background to what we just read. The day before, Jesus and his disciples are going into Jerusalem. They're going to the temple there. And the Bible says Jesus, being hungry, he's seen a fig tree afar off that had leaves. And so thinking that it had fruit, because if a fig tree had leaves, it's supposed to at least have some premature fruit on it. So Jesus, thinking that it had fruit, went over there and saw that it did not have fruit. And the Bible says that he cursed the fig tree, that he pronounced judgment upon the fig tree. And he said, let no one ever eat from you again. Wow. In other words, Jesus looked at the lying tree. He looked at the fake tree. He looked at the hypocritical tree, the tree that would not bear fruit. And he says, you die today. You're done. You're not going to keep lying to people. And the Bible says, now it's a prophetic gesture is what it is. Don't get caught up on the fig tree, because the very next thing he does is he goes into the temple and he finds the same thing. A religious activity going on, but it's as dead, and it's as unfruitful. And he says to them, in fact, the Bible says he got so upset, this is your Jesus, that he made a whip with cords and began to whip people and drive them right up out of the temple. And he said, nuh-uh, money changers, all this deception, all this fakery, all this lying, get out of my house. This shall be called the house of prayer. And the Bible says he drove everybody out of the temple. And then the blind and the lame, now we're going to get back to business. The blind and the lame came, and the Bible said healing began to flow in that house. The Bible says the very next day they're coming by, and that's where Peter said, remembering, said to Rabbi Jesus, look, the fig tree which you curse has withered away. Like, what? How did you do that, Jesus? I mean, Peter is shocked. The disciples, like, who is this guy? The Bible goes on to verse 22, and I want you to catch it because this is my assignment. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Woo. And then Jesus shows them what faith can do in their life. For surely I say to you, whoever says, open your mouth, to this mountain be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says, again, open your mouth. Anybody been here the last 2 weeks? Whatever those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Notice how many times saying is in verse 23. In other words, Jesus is saying, you think that's amazing, but let me show you what faith can do. If faith will move your mouth, it'll begin to move your problems, because mountain is figurative of your issues and your problems. Does anybody have some mountains or some issues or some problems that need to be moved today? I want to read verse 22 again. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Jesus answers his disciples by answering the obvious question that they are all thinking, and yet Peter is asking, Jesus, how in the world did you do that to the fig tree? How can we do this? How can we experience this kind of a power? And then Jesus makes it so simple for them, and Jesus makes it so simple for you, and everybody that wants to serve him or love him or be led by him. Jesus gives us the answer: have faith in God. Jesus is saying, do you want some of this? Have faith in God. Lean over to your neighbor and say, you want some of this? Go ahead and tell them. You want some of this? Tell them, have faith. Come on, lean over to the other neighbor and say, you want some of this? Come on. I can see you in this gym. They got the lights on. You want some of this? That's what they're at. You really want some of this? Jesus is saying, you want some of this? Come on, you want some of this? Have faith in God. This is the answer. This is the answer to all answers for your life. The answer unlocks the answers that you need. What I just said was worth getting out of bed and combing your hair and being here, turning the switch and coming online. The answer that Jesus gives is the answers to all answers for your life. Have faith in God. Now, if you don't get excited about faith, it's because you don't understand faith. And I can tell around here, I got some work to do this morning. Come on, is anybody excited about faith? It's hard to get excited for something you don't really understand. And I believe God has put me on pause to spend the next couple weeks to talk about this issue. Have faith in God. So today I want to minister from this subject. Who's got your faith? Who's got your faith? Because I had to make sure before I voted who I voted for, that I wasn't putting my faith in them. Oh, don't look at me that way. And you better make sure Regardless who was elected, you better make sure you're not putting your faith. It's so easy to trust in the wrong thing. So easy to trust in the wrong thing. My mom and dad, who are now in heaven, years ago, my dad would work crazy hours. He'd work 90 hours a week. He worked day and night. He wasn't a man that slept very much, and so he worked in the Bay Area, and he worked paving roads and doing all that kind of stuff. But he lived up in kind of Northern California. So when he would go home to Northern California, he would just basically go home to reload his suitcase and then spend most of the week down in the Bay Area working night, around the clock. Crazy, crazy life. And my mom and him had made the trip back to Northern California, reloaded their suitcase, and he was just absolutely tired. And he said, "Baby, I just need you to drive back to the Bay Area. Let me at least get, a couple hours of sleep," because it was about a 2.5-hour drive, 3 hours if there was a lot of traffic. And so she agreed, and which is probably a mistake, but she agreed. And so here they go. They take off. And my dad, although he did what he did without much sleep, he could go to sleep within just a half a second. When he turned the switch, he was gone. And so he just goes to sleep, and he's snoring away. And my mom's just having a great time driving, just heading, getting back to the Bay Area. And, a couple hours go by, and my dad wakes up, and he's, "Are we there yet?" And, like a kid, are we there yet? And so we got to be getting closer. So he's rubbing his eyes and trying to wake up. She says, "Well, I think so. And he happens to glance outside the window. And to his amazement, he starts seeing signs and things that resembles their home. And come to find out, they were right back where they started after 2.5 hours. That my mom had literally drove in a circle right back. It's so easy. You see, that day my dad learned for sure. He already knew, but he learned for sure not to put his trust in my mom to get him where he needed to be. It's so easy to put your trust in the wrong thing. My concern for a lot of people listening to me today is you might be going in circles and you don't even know you're going in circles. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Notice what the Apostle Paul says as we're building this foundation. He says, "For this reason I also suffered these things." And the things he's talking about was the persecution, because he was preaching and he was planting churches and people didn't like his message. And so he says, "For this reason I'm suffering these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." They're trying to shame me. They're talking about me. They're posting about me. He said, "But I'm not ashamed. I'm not going to take their shame. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day." And to understand that, what Paul is saying is that I've been working hard, and they're trying to shame me, and they're trying to shut me down, and they're trying to discredit me. They're lying about me, but I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed, and I believe that God will protect what I've been doing, what I've been building, what I've been preaching, that he'll confirm the word with signs following. And this is how I know, and this is why I'm persuaded, because I know whom I believe. Now, don't miss this. Paul did not say, "I know in what I believe." He says, "I know the one I have placed my belief in." You see, Paul's not just believing a principle here. Paul is believing in a person. Oh, I just helped somebody right there. Paul is believing in a person. Paul makes it very clear that his faith is in God. Jesus said, "Have faith in God." Let me give you some other translations of this. The CEV says, "I know the one I have faith in." He's not talking about a principle. He's talking about a person. The ERV version says, "I know the one I have put my trust in." Jesus said, again, "Have faith in God. Jesus did not say have faith in the Bible. Uh-oh. Hang on. See, some of you, that sounds like heresy to you. But you need to hang on and listen to this preacher this morning. Jesus did not say have faith in the Bible. He didn't say have faith in this verse or that verse. He didn't say have faith in this principle or that principle. He didn't say have faith in this truth or that truth. He says have faith in God, not this thing or that thing. He says have faith in the one that gave you the Bible, that gave you the principle, that gave you the truth. Oh, you ought to be shouting much louder than that right there. Amen. You see, our faith is to be in the one or the person that saves us. Jesus is not a gumball machine so you can get your stuff. He wants a relationship with you. Have faith in God. We're to have faith in the one that heals us, the one that delivers us, the one that provides for us. His name is Yahweh. Yahweh. Everybody shout Yahweh. Three different times Jesus to Moses and to Isaiah and to Abraham. He says, you call me Yahweh. It was his covenant name. The scholars believe that it was the most holiest names to describe our God, Yahweh, the Lord above all lords, the King above all kings, the God above all gods. That's what that means, Yahweh. But they'll tell you when you say it, you actually, the proper way of saying that is, you breathe in, Yah, you breathe out, way. Go ahead, let's try that together. Go, Yah, let it out, Yahweh. Go, Yahweh. Isn't it interesting to say Yahweh's name, the most holiest names above every other name? You actually breathe to say it. Woo. So the first thing that you do when you're born into this world is you go, oh, way. The very last thing that you do before we bury you is you go, oh, way. So even if you haven't confessed him as Lord and Savior, your breath has still been declaring that he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. Come on, that he's Yahweh. Have faith in Yahweh. Now don't miss this. This is huge. Because when the Bible talks about faith, by the way, that was all free of charge. I didn't know I'd do that, but some of you need to hear that. Every breath that every person breathes on this planet, whether you realize or not, you know what they're doing? And he's just waiting for them to recognize that he's the giver of that breath and to receive him as Lord. Come on, has anybody received him as Lord in this place? Come on, is anybody thankful that he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings? Here's what you need to understand. When the Bible talks about faith, it's talking about having faith in God. In God. Everywhere you see faith, it's talking about having faith in Yahweh. Many people have put their faith in the wrong thing. Us faith people, we put our faith in our faith. Hello? I could go through a list, but let me just give you a few of them. We put faith in prayer. Did you know there's millions of people praying today that don't even believe in Yahweh? We don't put our faith in prayer. We put our faith in the one that answers prayer. Come on, somebody. Right? We put our faith in the ones that hears our prayers and that answers our prayers. Because if you're putting your faith in prayer, you've got misplaced faith. Jesus didn't say after they seen the miracle and he tells them how to do powerful things in their life, how to move mountains. He didn't say the answer is have faith in prayer. He says have faith in, this is going to change your life forever. I'm telling you, this is the key. This is the answer. that unlocks the answers that you're looking for. Many put their faith in religious activity, right? Well, I'm going to church. I'm here. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you have faith in God. Doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of people doing religious activity today have no faith in God. Many people put faith in themselves. But this isn't faith in God. Faith in education, that's not faith in God. Faith in works, faith in what they do, faith in their job, that's not faith in God. Faith in money. Faith in money. We see this over and over throughout scriptures. Rich young ruler. Jesus gives him an opportunity to be one of his disciples. He said, but you're going to have to go because the man loved money. He had a wrong relationship with his money. His money was his security. And Jesus says, I want you to go sell everything you have. Give it away to the poor. Come follow me and be my disciple. And the Bible says he was willing to do everything else but to let go of the very thing that he trusted in, that he had faith in. Jesus was dealing with the issue he had put his faith in. And the Bible says he walked away sorrowful. He could have became the disciples. He wasn't asking the man to take a vow of poverty because to his disciples, he goes on to say to his disciples, if you give it away, he says, I'm going to give it back to you 100-fold. We have other stories throughout the Bible where people put their, there's a man who is a very wealthy man and he was so proud of himself. He said, what am I going to do with all my wealth? I know what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns and I'll store my wealth and I'll store my wealth and I will eat and drink and be merry and have a good time with my life. And you know what Jesus says to that man who trusted, who put his faith in his money? He says, you fool, your soul will be required of you tonight. In other words, you're dying tonight, and then who's going to spend your money? Let me tell you who's going to spend the money. It's going to be the new husband. Faith in money is not faith in God. I'm preaching better than you're shouting in here. Come on, somebody ought to get radical in hell. We're going somewhere. Faith in family. That's not faith in God. Faith in your kids. That's not faith in God. Faith in other people. Listen, people can help, but they're not to be our source. This is a big one, and we're going to be dealing. If you don't want to be offended, don't come next week because we're going to be dealing with that one in a big time, big way. Because this is the reason why many people are not seeing the mountains moved out. They're not seeing the miracles in their life that they should, because their faith is not in God; it's in people. I want you to get this in your heart today, as we lay this foundation. Jesus said, "Have faith in God." So you need to ask yourself today, who or what are you counting on to make it through? When you need something, who do you look to? Who do you turn to? A question. Who do you turn to when you need help? Who are you depending on to make it through, to change your situation? What have you placed your confidence in? Those are the questions you should be asking yourself, because you need to find out quickly, do I have faith in God? If it's not God, then you've misplaced your faith. And I'm here to tell you, people can fail you. That relationship can fail you. That business can fail you. That job can fail you. That money can fail you. The medical science can fail you. Hello? That political party can fail you. Now, God uses all those things to help us, but we're not supposed to put our faith in them. You're not hearing. As believers, we do not put our faith in that. Jesus said, have faith in God. There is only one that is completely worthy, who's completely trustworthy. There is only one who is able, that you can completely rely on to get you through, and he cannot fail. So my question here today for you, how are you going to make it through what you're trying to get through right now? Going to call mama? Huh? try to get another job to fix it. Hopefully the doctor can fix it. Maybe they can. Maybe this can. How are you going to get through what you're needing to get through? Jesus gives us the answer, church. Have faith in God. This is freeing if you'll get it. You'll get excited if you ever get an understanding of faith, because you won't have to rely on anything or anyone else. Have faith in God. So let me work on some understanding here so we're all on the same page, and then we'll wrap it up and put a bow on and come back next week and get into some meat of this. Faith in God is what Christianity is all about. You cannot do the Christian life without faith, which means faith in God. Because anytime you talk about faith, you got to make sure, faith in God. You cannot do the Christian life without faith in God. We gave these to you a couple weeks ago, but let me give them to you again. Notice you are saved by faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. The second thing, you walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Bible says, for we walk by faith, or faith in God. Here's the third one. You live by faith. Four different times in your Bible, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. What? Faith in God. Number four, you please God by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 6, for without faith it is impossible to please God. You can't even please God if you don't have faith in God. And I love it's one of Hebrews 11, 6 is my favorite verse in all of the Bible, because it really tells you what faith looks like. The Bible says, "You without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is Yahweh." You got to believe that he exists, that he's not just something of your imagination. You believe that he is, and number two, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that he's going to bless you, he's going to provide for you, he's going to make a way for you. Come on, that he's going to be your source. You got to believe that he is, and that he's going to be your source for everything you have in life. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We please God by faith. We get saved by faith. So if faith is important to God, church, it needs to be important to you. You've got to understand faith. As believers, as Christians, everything we do, according to the Bible, we are to do it by faith. But for so many, they have not embraced this kind of lifestyle. They start it. They believe in getting saved by faith, because who wants to go to hell, right? That's an easy one. Yeah, I'll do that one. Sign me up. What's the prayer again? Let me pray that prayer. So we're okay with using faith to get saved, right? But they don't live a lifestyle of faith where God is their source for everything, where God is their hope, where God is their guidance, where God is their help, where God is their answers, where God is their provider, their healer. Again, the question is, what are you counting on to get you through what you're trying to get through right now? Faith is the answer. And as long as you're looking for something else, you haven't settled the issue of your faith. You see, according to the Bible, faith in God is rare. And the reason why I want to bring this up, because I think we just automatically think, oh, we're all in faith. Well, if we're all in faith, then why isn't things happening? Because Jesus says you can mess up some fig trees. You can move some mountains. You can do some miracles. You can do some mighty things. Somehow there is a disconnect. Because Peter said, Lord, how do you do that? How can I have some of that? Give me some of that. Somebody shout, give me some of that. Maybe that should be the title of our message. Give me some of that. How do you get it? Jesus gives you the answer. Have faith in God. Somebody shout yes.
Come on, I'm working on getting this in you. I'm going to get it in your heart. You're going to be transformed and changed. I'm here to tell you we're going to leave this place different. Come on, you online, you're going to click off today. You're going to be transformed and you're going to be different and you're going to begin to move mountains in your life. How many of you are ready to start moving some mountain? We got some mountain moving people in this place today. But faith is rare. It's not as common as you think. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, for not everybody has faith and is held by it. Just because you're a Christian, just because you call yourself a Christian, doesn't mean you have faith. Jesus himself said in Luke 18:8, he says, mark my words, God will intervene fast with vindication. The question was, we need a miracle, Lord. We need a breakthrough, Lord. We need the mountain to be moved. And God says, well, I'm ready to move fast, but I'm not the problem. Well, what's the problem? He goes on to say, but here's the real question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find anyone who still has faith? In other words, the problem was not with God. The problem is somebody having faith so that God can move in their life. God says, I'm ready to do it. He ain't waiting for you to wait till next week. He says, I can do this quickly. But what I'm looking for is some faith. I'm looking for somebody that has faith in God. But as long as we're chasing around trying to get everything fixed by everything else, your faith's not in the right place. And mountains aren't being removed and fake things and lying things aren't dying in our life. According to Jesus, real faith is rare. So just don't assume you have faith. Now see, you think I'm preaching at you. This is what God preached. I didn't plan to bring this to you. This is what God's talking to me, is challenging me. And you say you're a man of faith, but let's talk about this. So I went on a search and a journey, and I realized I'm not as much of a faith man as I thought I was. I have the T-shirt. Some of you got the T-shirt and the hat, but that doesn't mean you're living by faith and walking by faith and trusting by faith and speaking by faith. Come on, this is going to help us. Jesus says faith is a rare thing, so we must not assume that we have faith or that everybody around us has faith. So the obvious question is, if we're talking about the importance of faith, what is faith? Let's just simplify this for you today. I want to give you a simple understanding of faith by giving you some Bible words that define faith. These are words throughout the Bible, and I could give you a lot more, but just let me give you a couple. Words that describe faith in the Bible: confidence, convinced, committed, reliance, persuaded. And I could give you 10 more, but I want you just to think about this. Confidence. To have faith means I have confidence. To have faith means I'm convinced of something. To have faith means I'm committed. See, the church don't like that one. Got to be committed to something. Well, if you're going to live by faith, you can stay out of hell by getting saved by faith, but you ain't going to live by faith without being committed. Reliance, persuaded. All these words, now here's what I want to boil this down to. All these words that define faith, there is one word that defines them all. So that when we think of faith, we could just think of one word. So if you only had one word to define faith, this would be the one word that defines faith. Do you want to know? We'll see you next week. God bless you. No. Yep, that'd be a great place to hang up right there, huh? We're done. We're going to hang up. I think I'm going to do it. Come on, stand up to your faith. Come on, we're all done. I just did it. You've seen a miracle today. I just preached shorter than my wife. Come on, somebody. You ought to give it up for Jesus today. Come on, somebody shout, have faith in God. This may be a 3-week series. I'm telling you, this is weighty in me. It's heavy in me. Because it's the answers we've been looking for. Have faith in God. Jesus says, you want to know how I did what I did to that lying thing that was trying to destroy me? You want to know how to move mountains in your life and cause them to be cast into the sea? You really want to know? You want some of this? Let me tell you how to get it. Have faith in God. Somebody shout, have faith in God. Phew. Have faith in God. For many of us, we just need to realize we've misplaced our faith. What are you looking to get you through what you're trying to get through? If it's not God, then you don't have faith in God. If you're spending all your time trying to get somebody to fix your problems, I would challenge you, you need to get back on your knees and make commitment and devotion to God Almighty. Three people clapping. That's okay. You go ahead and just embrace your mountain because it won't have to move. That lion tree will not have to die. But if you ever make up your mind that He is Yahweh, He is a God above all gods, the Lord above all lords, if you ever make that commitment, I'm here to tell you, you'll have some mountain-moving faith. I don't know about you, and this is the reason why I looked at this. I'm done with lying things in my life. I'm tired of things mocking me. That's what the tree was doing to Jesus. The fig tree had leaves. Go study it out for yourself. Therefore, it should have had fruit. It was fruitless, and it was lying to Jesus. The Bible says Jesus was hungry, but it couldn't provide what it was supposed to provide. And Jesus says, you lying thing, get out of my life. Every lying thing needs to get out of your life. Every form of cancer, every form of sickness, every form of disease, every form of poverty, it's all a lie. It's not God's best and it's not God's will for your life. You are healed. You are blessed. You are set free. You are an overcomer. Shout, I'm an overcomer.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, how do you end this? I didn't even know I was stopping there. Just lift your hands to heaven.
I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord,
oh, yes.
And He heard.
Thank you, Lord.
And He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust You. That's why I trust You.
So I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. If you found the one word that describes all the word, it would be trust. Next week, we're going to come and we're going to talk about, so exactly how do I get that faith? How do I release that faith? And how can I be a person that's not vulnerable to misplacing my trust? I'm telling you, there's some truth in here. But I wanted to sing this song because this song sings or says exactly what we're preaching today. I sought the Lord and He heard, and I put my trust in Him. To have faith in God means that you're all in. You're all in. You're just he's gonna fix it. He's gonna solve it. He's the answer for it. Say, I trust You, Lord. Say, I trust You, Lord. Say, I trust You, Lord. Say this. Say, Lord, I trust You. I rely on You. I depend on You. I'm looking to You. You're my Savior. You're my healer. You're my provider. You're my answer. You're my help. Say this out loud. My faith is in God. Come on.
Thanks for listening. If this impacted you and you'd like to partner with us, go to celebrationchurch.cc/give to help us reach people with the message of Jesus.